Shalom to all. Today's daf is Rosh Hashanah daf Chaf. We're starting right at the top with the halacha dalet, and today's daf is sponsored by Lunishmas Marshmirim Sarbatz Miakam Moshe Hernish Amal should have an aliyah. So we continue discussing shayfrays. The Mishnah tells us Vitanius on a public fast day shall zacharim kefufim. The shayfray that's used is from a male ram, and it's usually bent, like it's curved. Upiv mitzupa kesef, and the mouth is covered with silver. Ushtei chatzoches beemtza, and the two chatzoches, the two trumpets, are in the middle, as opposed to on Rosh Hashanah, where we had said the shayfrays in the middle in the Beis Hamikdash. That's because the mitzvah of the day was the shayfar. Over here on a public fast day, where the main mitzvah is with chatzotzers, so the chatzotzers are in the middle, flanked by two shayfars, and shayfar makatz, chatzotzers marichos, shemitzvah yom chatzotzers. The shayfar, that sounds a shorter blast, and the chatzotzers, they go longer, because the mitzvah of the day, again, which is a fast day, is to blow chatzotzers. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yonah tells us, why is it on a fast day, it's supposed to be a bent shayfar, k'day she'achayfos limon betfilah, so people should bend over the heart, so to speak, in tefillah. Says the Gemara, Kumri Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, talking about Tanisa, in front of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, they would blow shayfar on a fast day. Now, Rabbi Yosef asks as follows, also blow chatzotzros. So my response, Vlishmiya, what did Rabbi Yosef not hear? The Tani that we have a brisa, chatzotzros b'mikdash and chatzotzros b'gvulin, that we only blow chatzotzros in the Beis HaMikdash and not in the gvulin, meaning not outside the Beis HaMikdash. So that's why they didn't blow chatzotzros, and it is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Now more about what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi did on a fast day. V'yispalu in front of Esrim v'arba, they davened in front of him, meaning he said they should daven 24 brachas. The Gemara in Tainus discusses that on a public fast day, they're supposed to add 6 brachas to Shemana Esrei, so it goes from 18 to 24. And Kadar Rav Yechon actually did this mispal b'tisha b'av Esrim v'arba on Tisha above, he downed 24 brachas. However, he instructed his talmidim, don't learn this from me, that on Tisha B'Av you should do 24. Why? Did Srichale? Because he wasn't so sure, Avel who or Tanasibur who? Tisha B'Av, is it a day of mourning because of destruction based on Mikdash, or is it considered like a regular public fast day? So then we would require 24 brachas on Shemana Esrei. And Rabbi Yosef says, B'Shem Yishu B'Levi, in a Tanasibur, Tisha B'Av is not a Tanasibur. And Rabbi Yonah quotes Yitzchak Bar Nachman, says, B'Shem Yishu B'Levi, Avel who? It's considered a day of mourning, in a Tanasibur, it's not a Tanasibur. He says that Milser Rabbi Yechon Amra, the following thing Rabbi Yechon tells us very clearly, that Yachad B'Tisha B'Av Mispal Arba, an individual on Tisha B'Av, he davens 4, which is 4 tefilos. There's some form of Ne'ilah on Tisha B'Av as well. There's a classic Mayriv, Shacharis, then Mincha, and there's also like a Ne'ilah type of tefilah. And what do we learn from here? Lo'amar Ela Arba, we see that Rabbi Yechon says only 4, Ha'asim V'Arba Loi, but he did not say to daven 24 Brachos Shemana Esrei, and so maybe it is considered like a Tanis Sibur in regards to davening 4 separate tefilos, but it's not in regards to 24 Brachos of Shemana Esrei. And moving on to Halacha, the Mishnah tells us Shava Yovel Rosh Hashanah, Yovel Simen Rosh Hashanah. In the following, we know that Yovel is the 50th year, and the pasuk specifically tells us about Yom Kippur of Yovel that certain things happen. And in what ways is it compared to Rosh Hashanah? Litkia for blowing of shayfar. We're going to learn about the shayfar in the Gemara, and also the brachas regarding brachas have to be said. That which we say on Musaf of Rosh Hashanah is also said on Yom Kippur of Yovel. Rabbi Yehuda says Rosh Hashanah Tekim Shal Zcharim. Then on Rosh Hashanah we blow a shayfar with a horn of a male ram, whereas the Yovel B'Shal Ye'elim, or then Yovel we blow that of a Yael, which is different. So first thing where it tells us that the pasuk says Ani Hashem Alekeichem. What do we learn from here? Elu Malchias. That's referring to Malchias. And then the pasuk says Zichron Trua. What do we learn from here? Elu Hazichronos is referring to Zichronos. And then the pasuk says Shayfar Trua. Elu Hashayfars. That's referring to Shayfars. Chafon Beis on the top. Ad Kedoyin Rosh Hashanah. Up until now, we learned that we have to do this on Rosh Hashanah. Yovel. What about doing this on Yovel? And the answer is because the pasuk tells us Vavarta Shayfar Trua B'Chodesh Hashvi B'Esrul Chodesh B'Yom Kippurim. And you shall be Ma'avir. You shall sound the Shayfar Trua on the 7th month, on the 10th of the month, on Yom Kippur. Now we know this is referring to Yovel. However, says Brisa Shein Tam. He doesn't have to say B'chash Shvi because we already know that Yom Kippur is on the 7th month. So why do we have to say B'chash Shvi when we're talking about Yovel? So Matam Olam B'chash Shvi, what's it telling us? Ela Kol Mashat Oisa B'ha Rosh Hashanah Hava Oisa B'asal Chodesh. It's teaching us whatever you do on Rosh Hashanah, meaning the beginning of the 7th month, as we should do on the 10th of the month when we're talking about Yovel. And Makan Malchus Zechonos Shayfros, just like Rosh Hashanah, we say Malchus Zechonos Shayfros. Afkan Malchus Zechonos Shayfros. So to on Yom Kippur of Yovel, we say Malchus Zechonos Shayfros. But as it continues, Minat Shib Shutul Fanel. How do we know that the Trua that we're talking about requires a pshuta, a simple straight blast before it? We know that a trua is not a straight blast. It's broken up into a number of short blasts. So how do we know that there's supposed to be a pshuta, which is what we call a tekiya? How do we know that's supposed to be beforehand? So Tamalam, that's what the pasuk says, ve'avarta shofar, and avarta is a lashon of avara, just going straight. It's a nice straight sound. And minan shepshul achrel, how do we know there's a pshuta afterwards? Tamalam, because the pasuk says, taviru shofar. So ad kedoyin yovel. Up until here, we know yovel, because these pesukim were said by yovel. But Rosh Hashanah, how do we know Rosh Hashanah? And the answer is, because the pasuk says, the pasuk doesn't have to say B'chodesh Shvi. We already know we're talking about the 7th month. So Ma Tam Olam B'chodesh Shvi? Why does the pasuk say B'chodesh Shvi? El is teaching us Mashat Oisa B'chodesh Shvi Ki Ba'Asur L'Chodesh. That which you do at the beginning of the 7th month, which is Rosh Hashanah, it should be just like that which you're doing on the 10th of the month, namely Ma Kan Tokei Mirav Tekea. Just like over here by Yom Kippur of Yovel, there's Tekea True and Tekea Av Kan Tokei Mirav Tekea. So to Rosh Hashanah, it's Tekea True and Tekea. Now Minayin Chain Shalosh Shal Shalosh Shalosh. How do we know that it's three sets of three? That it's not just Tkiya Trua Tkiya, but it's three sets of that. So Tam Lamed. So the pasuk says Yom Trua, Zichron Trua, Shofar Trua, and that tells us it's three sets of three. Now Ad Kedoin Rabbi Kiva. This is all according to Rabbi Kiva, who darshins extra words in the pasuk, and so these are all extra words. So we have our drashas. But Rabbi Shmuel, what about Rabbi Shmuel, who holds a Dibur Torah Kol Shemini Adam, that very often when we have a repetition of the pasuk, Rabbi Shmuel will say that the Torah speaks like people do, and just like people repeat themselves, so too the pasuk does, and there's nothing extra to learn from. So how does he know this? And the answer is Tanya Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel teaches in Braisa. The pasuk tells us Uskatim Trua, Uskatim Trua Shenis, Trua Yisku Lamasehem, and so it's from these three different psukim that we learn this. Now in Tamar, if you're going to say he Tkiya, he Trua, the Tkiya and Trua is really the same thing. That can't be, because Vaksiv the pasuk says Uvahakel Sakahal Tisku Veloitariu. Then when you gather the nation and you blow the Chatzotros, you should blow Tkiya and not a Trua. So clearly Tkiya and Trua are two separate sounds. The Gemara continues discussing Yovel, and specifically the halachas that are relevant when Yovel comes in. And let's just read three psukim inside. One pasuk tells us that's pasuk telling us that you should blow the shofar on Yom Kippur Yovel. And what does that help us? So the next pasuk says V'kidashim eshnas chamishim shanu krasim dror b'haretz l'chol yoshveho Yovel hi tia l'chem yushavtem ishal chuzasiv ishal mishpachtei teshuvu. So this pasuk is now telling us that this shofar blast is being mekadesh the 50th year, and now there's a dror, there's a freedom that's being proclaimed, that number one, all ancestral lands that were sold to other people have to be released and they go back to the original owner. And also, if a person was sold as a Jewish slave, he gets freed and gets sent back home. The third pasuk then tells us, Yovel hi, it's Yovel, shnas chamishim shana tialchem, lois izro, v'lois ikzros v'icha, v'lois ikzros nizireha. And this is in essence saying that the Yovel year has the same din as Shemitah, that you're not allowed to work the land at all. So I think Mara tells us, Yovel hi, the pasuk says, it's Yovel. And we learn from here, aval b'shaloi shmitu, even the people didn't follow through. They didn't actually give up the lands that they had bought and return them to original owners. It's still considered Yovel, and aval b'shaloi taku b'shaifer, even if they didn't actually build the shaifer, it's still considered Yovel, and so also to work in the land. Suggest the Braisa, Ayachal, you might think, Af Bishalai Shilcho Avadim, even if they didn't let the Avadim go, it's still considered Yovel. So Tam Olam, that's why the pasuk says, he, it is. And that tells us that if they didn't let the Avadim go, it's actually not considered Yovel. The people, so to speak, have the Koyach, have the ability to prevent it from having the din of Yovel if they don't let their Avadim go free, so now it's not the din of Yovel. Dev Rabbi Huda, that's Rabbi Huda's opinion. Rabbi Yisheimer, he says differently. The pasuk says, Yovel. What do we learn from here? Af Bishalai Shmitu, Af Bishalai Shilcho Avadim, that it's still considered Yovel, even though they didn't send the fields back to the original owners, and if they didn't send Avadim back home, it's still considered Yovel. Oh, Yachal, Av B'Shloi Taka B'Shofar. You might think that if they didn't blow Shofar, that it's considered Yovel. Tamal Omer, he, that's what the pasuk says, he, that if they didn't blow Shofar, that's what's going to prevent it from being considered Yovel. So we have Machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosa. What is it that if the people did not do it, that now it's not considered Yovel? According to Rabbi Yehuda, if they didn't send the Avadim out, they didn't let them go back home, so it's not considered Yovel. According to Rabbi Yosa, if they didn't blow Shofar, so it's not considered Yovel. So Rabbi Yosa says, from the fact that we have one pasuk that connects the isra of work to blowing shofar, another pasuk connects it to sending the avadim home. So then why do I say the yovel shalai b'shiloach avadim, that it's still considered yovel even though they don't let the avadim go back home? But if they don't blow the shofar, so it's not considered yovel. Maybe it's the other way around. And the answer is because it's possible to have yovel without shiloach avadim. That's because it's very possible that we'll have a situation where there's no Jewish slaves, so there are no avadim to send back home. So you can't make yovel be contingent on sending avadim home if there's a possibility there might not be any avadim to send home. But it's impossible to have yovel without blowing shofar, because it's a real stretch of imagination to say that there's not going to be any shofar to be found to be able to blow on yovel, and that's why yovel is contingent on blowing on the shofar. The rach, another nakuda over here, says Rabbi Yosa, is tkiyas shofar tlui bezdin. Tkiyas shofar has to do with bezdin. Bezdin is one that's blowing shofar. Shloch avadim toy b'chol adam. Sending avadim out has to do with everybody else, and it makes sense that the Torah is going to make yovel contingent on something that Bezdin is able to do, as opposed to each and every individual person. So this is all Rabbi Yosi. Now we explain Rabbi Yudah. V'asiyah ki da'amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak. It's like Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak said, the pasuk says, V'edabar Hashem al Moshe v'al Aaron v'etzavim al b'nei Yisrael. This is before Yitzias Mitzrayim. Hashem told Moshe and Aaron, and he commanded them regarding the b'nei Yisrael. And then the pasuk continues, V'al Paroi melech Mitzrayim l'hoitzias b'nei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim. And he also commanded them regarding Paroi melech Mitzrayim to take the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. Now the question is, al matzivam, why did Hashem command Moshe and Aaron regarding the Yidden? It seems like the pasuk's trying to say that Hashem's telling Moshe and Aaron that they should take the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. What exactly is he commanding them to do? And the answer is, al parsha shiluach avadim. This pasuk's actually talking about the din of shiluach avadim, that if Yidden had avadim, even at the time of Mitzrayim, but also for all dairos, specifically regarding Yovel, that there's a chiv to send the avadim home, and if not, then it's not considered Yovel. And Masakid Amar Avhila, this is like what Avhila said, loy nentri Yisrael al parsha shiluach avadim, the Yidden were only punished with Golas Bavel because of shiluach avadim, that the they didn't send their Jewish avadim home when it was Yovel. Hadol said this pshat in pasuk where it says Nirmiyah Miketz Sheva Shanim Tshalchu Ishes Achiv Ivri Gaimer. At the end of 7 years, we know the Jewish slave works for 6 years. So at the beginning of the 7th year, every man has to send his brother home. And the pasuk tells us that they did not listen, and it's because of that Yirmiyah said that they ended up going into Gaul's Bavel. And again, this goes back to this pasuk that we had just mentioned previously, that Hashem commanded Moshe and Aaron to the Bnei Yisrael, which means they had to tell the Bnei Yisrael to let their avadim go. So we see that that's what Yovel is contingent on. Says the Gemara. Now we just have a little bit of Agadot over here. Tanim Shem Ruchemio, Brazenim Ruchemio. The pasuk in Eishes Chayil tells us Haisa Kaniya Soicher. She's like the boats of a merchant. Mimerchak Tavi Lachma. She brings her lechem, her sustenance, her food from very far. Now this is a mashal to the Torah. So we're comparing the Torah to boats that are bringing something from very far. Namely, what Chafal from Ralph on the top. Devar Torah Niim B'Mkayman Vashir Makam Acher. Sometimes words of Torah are poor in their place, but they're wealthy in another place. Namely, sometimes you have a pasuk and you have no idea what it's talking about, but if you look at a pasuk somewhere else, that explains the first pasuk, and that's like a boat coming from afar with food, and that's what we just had. This pasuk in the Torah of Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Aaron Vayitzav Bnei Yisrael, and we weren't so sure what that was referring to, and then we had this pasuk in Yirmiyah that we're able to learn from there that's talking about Shiluach Havadim. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow with another opinion regarding Yovel and what's Ma'akev, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.